of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope you'll join us beginning Thursday for In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio Program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. Oh, you know what? I just realized that this is the offering week. I need to make sure and mention that to you right here on WMIE. And if you would like to be a partner with them, I write stuff down, and then sometimes I just forget all about it. And so I forgot yesterday, so let me make sure and mention that to you. Twice a year, WMIE has a fundraiser where it asks for people to partner with them for the next 6 months to help meet operational costs and improvements to their facility, and they continue to make upgrades. And in all honesty, It looks really, really good. So thank God for the studios that they have. And you're thankful you don't have the electric bill that they've got. I don't know how much the electric bill is, but I'm sure it is on up there quite a bit with the powerful transmitters that they have that that bring the good news of Jesus Christ to people all along the Space Coast here. And so WMIE, their phone number is 321-632-1000. I believe that the goal is something like 35,000 is what they are trying to reach, and they're well on their way to that. 321-632-1000 if you'd like to call in a donation. But this year they have added something new, and that is the option to text to give. And so if you text WMIE, text 24365 to WMIE, text the following number, 24365, and that will get you to a text to give screen, and you can do that 24 hours a day. I believe that stays operational. So thank you in advance for helping them take the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the community. I want to take just a moment to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air. 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. And this is no April Fool's joke here. They are very, very good at what they do. And with the change in school and everything like that, you want to make sure that that air conditioner is working. It may be experiencing a heavier workload than what you are accustomed to. Because of the suspension of classes in person at the school campus. And so if your unit is showing signs of duress, be sure and call the folks at Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538, and have them come out and get your system up and running. And the new system will cost less than the old system did as far as operational cost, because they make them more efficiently now. So 321-632-9538. If you just need a repair, they can do that. If you need electrical issues taken care of, they can do that as well. And so we're getting closer and closer to the peak heat season, and you want to be sure and be ready for it. You know, I don't know if you've ever watched a race, but there's a time in NASCAR races where they've got too many laps on their tires, and they might be out in front. And one of the strategies that sometimes people will employ is, well, I'm going to go ahead and pit early. That way, while they're staying out there, even though they're in the lead, when I come out, I'm going to be gaining track position on them. And you know, that might be one of the things that you consider as you're getting ready to face higher electric bills during the summer, is if I get my AC unit changed in the springtime, it might start saving me money right away. 321-632-9538. So we're going to go back to Psalm 51. It's where we were yesterday. And we're going to pick up in verse number 6 today. Psalm 51, verse number 6. Again, this is the psalm that David wrote after he repented for his sin with Bathsheba. And he says this: "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." We're going to end the reading there. Let's go back to verse number 6. Here it says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." So let's talk a little bit about whose desires are going to govern your life and my life. David found himself in the predicament that he was in because he let his desires overrule God's desires. Now, you have to understand that when David is writing this psalm and he is reacting to the Holy Spirit's conviction of his sins, David knew what it was like to live under an unrepentant king. Saul lashed out. Solomon ended up having, towards the end of his life, a mindset more similar to Saul than David, where Saul refused to repent and therefore lashed out at those people who were living the desires of God. Solomon actually, you know, tried to lash out against Jeroboam because Jeroboam was raised up because Solomon, towards the end of his life, his wives turned his heart to worship other gods, and God wasn't happy about that at all. So ask yourself right now, whose desires are you living in accordance with? Are you living, you know, let me put it to you this way. We used to think, when I was in youth ministry, I thought that peer pressure was something that ended whenever you got out of school. I was wrong. There is still peer pressure. There is all sorts of things. We had a speaker that came to our church one time that was a professional athlete. And as we were at dinner, he described the tremendous peer pressure that he faced in his career as he traveled the globe. And the peer pressure didn't come during his biggest defeats. The peer pressure came from his biggest triumphs. And he stood firm during those very trying and difficult moments. So I want to ask you, whose desires are you going to live to please? Are you going to live according to the lusts of the flesh? Are you going to live according to what it's going to take to please your friends? Some people compromise themselves spiritually and engage in behavior that they think is going to please their boyfriend or their girlfriend or their husband or stuff like that. I want to encourage you, your spouse, don't let ungodly people dictate what your desires are going to be. David said, God, you desire truth in the inward parts. God is looking for integrity. He is looking for the truth of his word, the truth of relationship to manifest in our lives. Okay. He is looking for us to be in our practical lives the thing that we say that, or the person that we say that we are with our mouth. There's an interesting sign that I see from every once in a while, and it says, be the person your dog thinks you are. You know, we have, my daughter has a dog, and she likes to think that she's part of the pack. She just looks a little different than everybody else. She has different responsibilities, but she looks at us and she has as much affection for us as a dog could have. And so I need to be the person that dog thinks that I am, you know, just doesn't know any better. I mean, now our dog thinks that that dogs are supposed to be indoor animals. I mean, that's what this dog is convinced of. So she goes out as long as she needs to go out, and then she wants to come in. And if you don't respond, then she just assumes you didn't hear her. God is looking for us to be people of integrity. And David goes on in the second part of verse number 6, and he says, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. David's actions had been unwise. God had actually spoken through David, and he said, everything that I've given you, and if that wasn't enough, I would have given you even more. Now, that goes back to tying into the question, who determines what is enough? A lot of people want to put that responsibility firmly in their own decision-making process. I'm the one that decides when it's enough. But if you know anything about relationships, especially if you know something about restoring health, doctors are the ones that determine how much a patient needs in order to get healthy again. But if we ever get so full of ourselves that we want to discount the wisdom that the doctors have and say, I'm going to be the one that determines this, you know, sometimes people decide for themselves to take less than what the doctor said. They decide for themselves to take more than the doctor said. And both of those situations will create a death opportunity instead of a life opportunity. So David knew what it was like to try and make those unwise decisions. And he says, God, I want you to make me to know wisdom. Now, if there was anything that Solomon did learn early on in his reign, it was that wisdom is invaluable. I mean, it's priceless. And all you're getting, get understanding. David says, God, would you make me a more wise person from this point forward? Is there anybody out there besides me that you've made enough bad decisions, enough foolish decisions in your life. You're not looking to duplicate that anymore. You are looking to make fewer foolish decisions crossing the finish line than you've made thus point in your life. I want to do that. I don't need to make more bad decisions. I need to make better decisions. And so one of the signs of maturity is that you come to God, because there are different types of wisdom. There's earthly wisdom. There's plenty of that to go around. But there is also spiritual wisdom, which is superior to earthly wisdom. And you and I need God for that. We need to understand that God is a God of tremendous wisdom. He makes foolish the wisdom of the wise. So God is looking for us to have wisdom, not just when we're in public, but even in those private seasons as well. Verse number 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. And he makes two declarations there in verse number 7. He says, purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, when you and I invite God to cleanse us from our sins, he will do that. And David says, I shall be clean. The sin is going to be wiped out. I'm going to be able to stand before you in righteousness that has been imparted to me, not righteousness because of my own merit, but righteousness that you have made possible for me because of how thorough you have cleaned me. I don't know if you've ever done a job such as painting, where in spite of your best and most valiant efforts, you got a lot of paint on you that was intended to go on the wall. And that's just one of the chemicals that I'm talking about. There are other things that are more difficult. If you've ever had tar, if you've ever worked with it, it has an amazing property where it gets on you more than what you care for. You say, I don't even know how it got there. I had long pants on and now I've got tar on my knee. How did that happen? But it's extremely difficult to get off. Well, one of the things that I utilize whenever I have had stains that have attached themselves to my skin is I would ask someone to look at my arms, look at my legs, and say, did I get everything off? Because from personal experience, I have cleaned, I have scrubbed, I have gone through every way of separating my skin from those materials that have bonded to my skin, and would think that I had everything off, only to have 2 days later saying, well, look at that. There's something in my hair. There's something on my arm. There's something on my elbow. There, inevitably, I would miss something. And so I would ask, is there anything that I haven't removed before I went out? And so we need that external perspective. And so when David is talking here, he's like, God, I don't want you to just clean the things that I'm aware of. Cleanse me from anything that I don't even know exists, because I don't want this problem to arise ever again. David had a problem one time where he was filled with arrogance. His counselors tried to prevent him from doing something that he was forbidden from doing in the scripture, and David forged ahead, and there were consequences as a result of that. We need God to cleanse us and surround us with people who will help us from unintentional sin or arrogant sin, or immoral sin. We need God's wisdom. We need him to cleanse us so that we don't participate in any of that, because we want to stand before him in holiness. He says, God, would you make me hear joy and gladness? Now, as I'm going through this, I'm picturing the courtroom where Saul was being tormented, and David came in as a worshiper, and the tormenting spirit was removed from Saul's presence because of the praise and worship. See, it was because Saul's sin that the tormenting spirit found a place in his life, and it took praise and worship to get it to where he wasn't tormented by it all of the time. And so David says, would you make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice? Praise and worship really does change the atmosphere. When we have our worship service and the praise and worship team is going, there's something that takes place in a corporate setting that doesn't take place all by yourself. And you say, you know what, God, it is good to hear praise and worship. It is good to hear, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's fantastic to hear, God, great is your faithfulness. How great is our God. You know, all of the chorus. I'm not a hymn guy or a chorus guy. I'm a both guy. I love to hear the worship that goes around. You see, as the redeemed of the Lord, we have a song to sing that the angels cannot. They don't know about the grace of God. They know about the holiness and the majesty and the power and the love, but they don't understand the mercy and the grace of God the way that the redeemed of the Lord do. And so whenever we hear that praise and worship, it has an effect on us. And all of a sudden, what David is talking about here is healing. Things that aren't working are restored to functionality, and we are reminded of the joy that is available to us once more. Okay, we're not to be the miserable of the Lord. We're supposed to be the jubilant of the Lord. He says, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Now, I can think back to a song, a chorus that was done back in the 70s. Create in me a clean heart, O God. We've talked a bit, you know, the heart is a driving force in our life, and so we need God to take out the heart of stone, give us the heart of flesh, a heart that's longing for depravity, and have a heart that's planted inside of us that is a heart for holiness and for the things of God and for the God who bestows those things. He says, renew a steadfast or right spirit within me. Okay? Sin is a consequence of a damaged spirit. Sin damages our spirit, but there is also the reality that an unhealthy spirit causes us to long for things we shouldn't long for, knowing full well that it is going to do greater damage. So you will see people, there are people who battle with pornography, and many times you'll hear them say, well, if I'm going to blow it, I'm going to blow it big. That makes no sense unless you understand that it's a spiritual problem. It's not a behavioral problem. It's a spiritual problem with a behavioral manifestation. So we need God to come in and realign us spiritually with who he is, do the work inside of our spirit that needs to be done so that we can behave the way the chosen of the Lord are supposed to. He says, do not cast me away from your presence. Can I encourage you right now to elevate the importance of the presence of God in your life? Let's not live depriving ourselves of one of the greatest privileges that God wants to have. It's the presence of God that gives life. It's the presence of God that brings forgiveness. It's the presence of God that convicts sinners of their ways. It is the presence of God that can cause multitudes to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The presence of God is our mark of distinction. It is not just the gifts of the Spirit. It is the presence of God. People really want to experience the supernatural in their life, but they have believed the lie that society has to offer, that all supernatural is the same supernatural, that it doesn't believe who you worship as long as you just worship sincerely. Nothing could be further from the truth. One spiritual influence is seeking your destruction, while the presence of God is seeking your redemption, your salvation, your empowerment, your to increase your level of influence. God is looking out for your best interest. And so we need to demonstrate that God's presence makes all the difference. There is no substitute. There is no substitute for the presence of God. And so I want to encourage you today to be very serious and treasure it and say, God, I want to experience your presence, not just on Sundays, but every day. And he says, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. I find it interesting that so many believers are terrified of the Holy Spirit, who points people to Jesus. I'm here to tell you, I want the Holy Spirit in my life. I want God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to me, correcting me, guiding me, dealing with people in our community. I want to see the presence of Almighty God as something that is a non-negotiable for me, because he makes all the difference. I don't make the difference to him. He makes the difference for us. And if you've ever fallen away and you've had the Holy Spirit change the dynamic of how he operates in your life, you truly will understand, God, I don't want you to take your Holy Spirit from me. I had a temptation one time that said, God, why are you dealing with me about this little bitty thing? And all these other people have these great big issues, and he said, is that really the way that you want me to deal with your life? Ignore the small stuff until it's huge? I said, no, sir, I don't. Don't take your Holy Spirit.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about...
And the time now, 8:59. We are getting ready to go to Love Worth Finding. I want to thank my good friend Pastor Bob Arthurs and his radio program today, and that is Refresh, and another longtime ministry partner, the good people there, Pastor Bob Arthurs and Merritt Assemblies of God. And we partner together to get the word out here to help bring you closer to God through sound preaching and teaching of the word of God. And I want to thank all of you too for your support, for your giving to help this radio station remain on the air. I want to thank James